This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the W12 podcast. We are on episode 5 of the season. I've been really looking forward to doing this podcast. I was trying to think of a time when it would be as positive as I assume that this podcast will be. And it took me back to when we beat Reading. I don't know if you remember, lads, when we beat Reading at home and we were buzzing after that. I thought we were going to win the league. A couple of wins at that. So looking forward to recording. Who have we got on today? Welcome back, Jack.
Good evening, lads. Pleasure to be back on. It's a good couple of results, so we've got a lot of good stuff to get through.
How are you? Good?
Yeah, really good. Can't complain, mate. Yourself?
Yes, very good. Dunk, welcome back, mate. Ever present.
Hello, mate. That's me, Mr. Consistency. Always here, always deliver.
Who's like a 6 out of 10? 7 out of 10, he just always turns up.
Oh, Sam Field. Call me Sam Field.
He's definitely not that at the moment.
Just the consistent. Oh, I've got to up my game tonight then, am I?
Bidwell. What about Bidwell? I don't know why he came to mind.
No, I'm not having that.
No?
I'm not having that. Fair enough.
And Bradley, how are you, mate?
All right, boys. Good to be back on and see your faces again. And what a time to be a QPR fan again.
Oh, God. You good, mate?
Let's ride that wave. Yeah, I'm all good, mate. Bit tired, done a bit of housework today, and it all went peaked on. We're gone from that.
Trying to fix a bathroom or something.
They're trying to put a shower in, but yeah, let's move on.
Right, lads, where do we start? Where do we start? 2 away wins, beating top of the league. What, we fourth in the league? If we win on Friday, we go joint top. Lots to be positive about. So let's talk about Bristol City then. We were there. Great performance, great first half. Game of two halves, really, wasn't it? Doug, you were there, mate. What was your views?
Like you said, it was massively a game of two halves. Bar the first 5-10 minutes of the first half, where I thought Bristol City did start the game quite well. First half, like, as soon as we kind of got into our rhythm, we completely bossed it. And, like, we were all at half-time, like, the atmosphere was fantastic. We thought we should have been 3-4-0 up. And the game, realistically, it should have been, and it should have been dead and buried. But, unfortunately, we're QPR. We totally had to do it the hard way. And we all knew, as soon as that came out second half, that next goal was going to be vital. Bristol City got it, and it just became a little bit edgy for a period. And then I think, actually, Beale got his sub spot on and he closed the game out really well. And the team closed the game out really well.
Pat, what do you think, mate?
Yeah, I was able to stream the game by work. And I thought first half, that was probably the best I've seen us play in a small period this season. I mean, we'd gone 10 games without a win at Ashton Gate in all competitions. And now we've won our last 3. It's the first time we've won 3 in a row at Ashton Gate. So that's become a bit of a happy hunting ground for QPR. And, you know, from a real, like, data point of view, it was our highest expected goals total in a single game this season. So it just shows how much of a threat, how much we created. And as Dunk points out, mostly in the first half. You felt in the second half, there were chances. When we strung a couple of passes together and went back at them, we almost got in again and scored. I mean, there's a couple of nervy moments for them at the back, but overall really impressed. And, you know, again, I'm, you know, falling in love a bit with Kenneth Powell, the Dutchie on the left-hand side, as they're singing.
Join the club, mate.
And, you know, it's third assist of the season, you know, and it's, which was two more than our left-backs last season, Wallace and McCann. Well, sorry, let me explain that again. Powell got his third assist. Our left-backs combined last season, Wallace and McCallum, only got two in 38 games combined. So it just shows you how much of an impact he's having to have more assists than both of them last season combined. He's a real threat, but he's also really strong in the tackle. He's pretty good in the air for a short guy. And, you know, he's really impressing me. And then obviously Johansson, 5 goal involvements in his last 6 games, which is as many as his previous 40 games combined. So he's looking the Johansson that we had on loan, you know, from a few seasons ago. So he's looking really good. And the fact that he was rested and we still, you know, obviously get onto that, but we still won at Sheffield United, is it bodes well. You know, at least we've got him to come back raring to go. So yeah, Bristol City, I thought, was a really encouraging result, and I thought we held out quite well overall. And actually, I didn't think they really threatened that much in the last 20 minutes anyway, after Wells scored.
Yeah,
you could have put your money on Wells scoring though, couldn't you?
Should be an own goal, that. I'll tell you, that was going wide.
It's weird, isn't it? Because we started the game really, really slow and sloppy, and 10 minutes. And then Dieng did that great save, didn't he, off that header. And literally, as soon as that happened, you just felt the game just completely switch. And from that moment until the halftime whistle, like Doug said, we should have been about 4, 5, 6 nil up, really. We had so many chances. Like Roberts was through on goal, wasn't he? Chair was through on goal. They should have both been slotted, really. There was a chance for a corner as well. So, yeah. But, yeah, they came back out. When I was watching it, I thought that Pearson kind of, for Bristol City anyway, he made all those subs and he kind of ruined Bristol City after that. That was sort of the 20-minute mark. He brought on, they had like 4 strikers on the pitch, and took a centre-half off and he took a midfielder off. And I just feel like that just played into our hands. And from there on, last 10 minutes, we looked like the only team that were going to score.
One shot on target the second half, Bristol City. So we, again, the way he's organising the defence, the way we're sort of going in at that low block, keeping quite narrow, asking the teams to go out wide and try and beat us around the wings, really organised. The shape is amazing. Defensive shape we've got is really impressive.
Well, and also, like, you've got to give a shout out to Balogun and Clark Soler. Literally, like, they were putting their bodies on the line, blocking everything. Balogun just seems like an absolute Rolls Royce of a defender. And I can't believe Rangers let him go.
He's been brilliant for us, hasn't he? Ever since he's joined. I mean, it's the opposite to Sheffield United. We started well at Bristol City and we didn't start as well for Sheffield United. But the second half, we come out and the first 10, 15 minutes, we were brilliant. So it was good for Roberts to get on the score sheet, obviously. And hopefully that kicks his season off. Just trying to keep him fit is the main thing. But yeah, our defence, I mean, that's... Am I mad to say it's one of the best defence we've had for a while?
Brad, I've got you this was it. I had thought this earlier, right? So I've got a little thing prepared. I was going to do it later, but because you've said that, right? So I've been reflecting on this defence, and to me, it feels like a ridiculous defence, doesn't it? Like, you just look at it and you go, that is like, you know, Kenneth Powell and Ethan Laird fullbacks. Then you've got the 4 centre-halves, who Jimmy Dunn was just... Oh, ridiculous the other night. You've then got Dickie, who needs to step up, doesn't he, a little bit, really? He's going to have to. And then you've got Balogun and Salter. And I was looking at the 2010 promotion team defence, and I was comparing and thinking, it's early days, isn't it? And we're probably getting ahead of ourselves a little bit with this defence. But I was looking at the names thinking, let me read you the defence there. We had Paddy Kenny in goal. Dieng as well was part of that defence, by the way, like, ridiculous. We had Paddy Kenny, Bradley Orr. We had Carl Walker, Clint Hill. We had Peter Ramage. We had Connolly. We had Casper Gorks and Fitz Hall. That was your defence there. So what I want you to do is pick a defence out of that. All of those players, your defence. And ask the question, are we getting ahead of ourselves? Is this defence
The real deal. You're saying pick a defence out of what you just mentioned all combined?
Yeah.
Well, however brilliant Laird's been, you've got to have a Kyle Walker as right back.
I was going to say, like, Laird gives you massive Kyle Walker vibes, though. It's always like a mirror, like a mirror image, like a mirror signing. Like, but yeah, I'd have to go Brad. No, Kyle Walker.
I'd definitely go Clark, Salter and Clint Hill.
Oh,
I don't know, but I just think that's a...
You can't have Balogun and Hill, because that's not the... I just feel like that would work.
I don't know, but you ain't conceding with Balogun and Hill, are you? Literally, no, they're going to die for that clean sheet.
The biggest question is Paddy Kenny or Diang, because Paddy Kenny was brilliant.
That's a shout.
Diang is blinding.
I'm having Kenneth Powell left back. I just love him, mate. I don't know how... He's like 5 foot, I don't know, and he's just... You wouldn't even know, would you?
He's been unbelievable.
Well, I would go Kenny purely because he holds the record for clean sheets in a single season by a QPR keeper in that year.
Oh,
in the
20s. Here he comes with his stats.
So I've got to back it up, haven't I? He was something. But Dieng, you know, assuming his thighs can hold together, he's up there, isn't he? He's up there and he looks like an all-rounder. You know, he's great from crosses. But so you going centre-backs and did you... I fancy ours now than I do 2010-11 Gorks.
I know, but you've got to have a Clint Ewing. You've got to have a Clint Ewing.
He played left back mostly, didn't he?
Yeah,
he did. But I do
tend to agree with you there, Jack. That I feel like the ones we've got this season, like, just feel on paper better defenders than the 2010 one. Like Balogun, Gorks, Fitzhall, like Salter, like. You can't really compare because different eras, isn't it? But at the minute, like the defence just looks solid. Jimmy Dunn as well. Like I thought he was really unlucky with the Bristol City game to be left out, but coming back like the way he did against Sheffield United, I don't know who Bill's got a massive headache of if he either sticks with a two. Which two is he picking, or is he going to go to?
You know what's
three?
Interesting? Obviously, for Bill. He's got 15, 16 players knocking at his door, right? Who should be picked for the first 11. He has, you know, he's got such a good bunch to pick from. But listening to him in his interview, he said training's got to go up a notch, you know, and I like that about Bill. He's not getting too excited. He's not getting too ahead of himself. Because obviously, he knows football and he knows the Championship. Anything could happen. But a fully fit QPR team that we've got there now, cool, you'll be hard-pressed to pick the first 11 each week. Especially if you've got your Duns, you've got your Dickie that's gonna step up, because he will, won't he? Dickie's gonna step up now. And then you've got your Balogun, you've got your Clark Saltwise. It's a bunch to pick from.
And I was just to touch on Jimmy Dunn as well. Like we've got to remember, he's playing on the wrong side. He's not left-footed, and he's still, you know, he has his moments, but he's been really solid. And you know, talking about headache for Bill, I don't know how Dunn doesn't have a headache. He's got the fifth best aerial duel success rate in the league. Out of defenders, so he's really high up for winning his aerial battles. Number one's Rob Dickey. So it's surprising. Rob Dickey doesn't lose much in the air, which is, you know, what that one's about. So I wouldn't play him together.
He doesn't, does he? If you think about it, think about him losing the headers. It's not something that I've ever noticed.
No.
The thing is with Dunn is that both games, when he came on at Bristol City and the Sheffield United game, they were played in front of him. Like both games were playing, and that is perfect for him. You wouldn't want anyone better. Balls in the box, people like where you know when they're trying to come short and get it. Like he comes in behind, like perfect. That's what Dunn. He'll lap that up all day. It's when the game gets stretched and it gets in behind him, and he got some.
Well, he did all right at Sheffield United. Someone beat him, and he got back.
I know. He outpaced someone, didn't he? Was it McBurney?
So do you think of Bill? It's horses for courses. I know historically you're not really supposed to tamper with your two centre backs, are you? You're supposed to let them build the partnership and ride it through thick and thin, like the 2010-11 season. But like with what we have, naturally left-sided, slightly injury-prone left-sided centre half can come in when he's fit. But then we've got three really handy right centre backs that all can do a different job. And Balogun doesn't look 34.
He just like shrugs people off, doesn't he? Like literally, he just like get off. Like, what the hell are you doing?
He's a leader as well. Did you see that little clip of Simon in the QPR media team posted where they scored at Sheffield United and all the players huddled around and it's Balogun leading it, saying, "Keep going, do that again. We, you know, keep going." Like really kind of G'ing him up. So He seems like he's quite important. I don't know if you, how you drop him at this point.
No, neither do I. But my thought is, right, that Bill really loves Salter, right? He speaks about him in most interviews, you know. And when Chair was captain, you know, fair play to him. I was happy for him. He deserves that. So he was captain. When he went off, it went to Salter, didn't it? I think it went to Salter. So for me, that just goes to show when Steph's not playing or it is Salter going to be the vice, and that means he's going to be the second on the team sheet every week.
He looked good at Bristol City.
He looked brilliant. First half, he was excellent. Excellent. He did that block.
When he came off, but he looked really good. So arguably, he's starting. I can see why Bill rates
him. Do you think Willock's injury, as untimely as it is, gives Bill a bit of an option now to go to a back three?
Yes, exactly.
And that's it's almost perfect timing with the defence being so solid that Willock's going injured. We don't have to be as reliant on him stretching the game. We can have three centre backs and our full backs can be wing backs and stretch the game that way.
I just don't want it us two. I kind of like us in the back four. I kind of feel like it works and changing it might just change everything. But at the same time, when you're looking at what's available to him, you've got four excellent centre backs and it frees up a bit of space for your full backs and a number 10. I think he might go to a back three. I don't know if it will be Friday, but it won't be far away.
But obviously, I don't think Balogun's going to play week in, week out well, you know, unless he proves me otherwise. But I don't think he's going to. But also, if Dickie sits on the bench week in, week out, in January, he'd be looking to go, I think. He's not going to sit on the bench, you know. He's better than that, isn't he? Let's be honest. We all know Dickie's better than a bench player. But Dunn's doing the bit, so you know what I mean? And Clark Shaw, obviously, is Bill's number one defender, I think, but I could be wrong.
I think you can see Dickie coming in for Balogun and Clark sort of starting against Reading if we stick as a back four. The alternatives, if you're going to change shape or not, but if you're going to stick in the same shape, he's got a couple of choices, isn't he? Richards obviously isn't fit yet. Maybe he can do a job in the coming weeks, but it's Dykes comes in and you push Roberts back, or you keep Roberts up front and you push Amos up, you know, in one of those more forward roles, and you keep the midfield or bring Steph back in, kind of thing. So he's got a lot of options, which is good. And this is why I think, compared to the start of the season where we lost Willock and we were scrapping around against Blackpool and Rotherham, stuff like that, I think maybe we're a bit more better suited. The team's in a better place. So maybe we can handle it. But that's to say Willock's is the talisman. And, you know, if there's no Willock, Chair has to.
Yeah, exactly.
Goals.
I've got a question though. So Sheffield United, look at the team sheet, right? Look at the bench. If Laird or Powell went off, who have we got to cover there? We had no real cover on the bench unless we push someone out.
It would be Adoma on the right.
That's my only thought, Unks. But
Clark Sutter to play left back.
No, maybe. I don't think he'd. Well,
even Laird can play left, can't he? So he might move him over to the left and then he's got the right.
Sam Field could fit in there for the final 20 minutes of a game. If
Giselle's done it as well.
Left back, couldn't he? Sam Field's played left back, hasn't he? If push comes to shove during the game, obviously you wouldn't want to start him there.
I suppose you've just come onto a great point though, Dan, couldn't you? Really, we can't not talk about Sam Field. He's been different gravy. It's been unbelievable.
Yeah.
He does all the work you don't see, right? But you obviously did at Bristol City. You know, we have the last couple. He stepped it up, no doubt. He stepped it up a bit. He's in good form. But he does do just the little, if you watch him, he just does the little doggy work that no one else does. Interceptions, just a little get in the way, get your body in the way, kind of, which goes unnoticed. But yeah, I mean, he was excellent at Bristol City and he was excellent again on Tuesday night.
Got a stat to back up the Sam Field stuff. So obviously he didn't come back into the side until mid-November last season, right? But ever since he's been ever present, he's made the most tackles of any player in the Championship since last November. So he really is, as you say, doing the doggy work, you know, intercepting the ball, really industrious, probably one of the best defensive mids we've had since Derry, and someone we've really needed. It was interesting to see him try the box-to-box role at the start of the season, but screening the defence, that's his bread and butter, and he's one of the best in the league. Got to keep him there, in my opinion.
understand what Bill was trying to do is try to put your hands to the quarterback kind of like, bring a ball here and there without with your hands not being informed in a further field position. But I also think that Fields' form has kind of left him in a bit of a, because I think that that's his natural position, isn't it? The number six sort of role, Tim. So I don't know whether he'll, when he does come in, that's where he'll come in. But you know, you can't drop Field at the moment, can you? Absolutely not.
No, not at all.
So quickly then. So you've got Doug. Pick your defence, quick. Between the two teams.
Walker, right back. Powell, left back. And just because you won't get through them, Clint Hill and Balogun, centre-backs.
Who's in goal?
I'm going to go against that, so I'm going to go for Seddy.
Mine's pretty much the same as Dunk's, to be honest, apart from I'd just switch out Balogun and put Clark Salter in there with Hill, with Powell, Led and Kenny. I feel a bit harsh on Diang, but Paddy, but Kenny.
You're playing Led? You're not picking Walker?
No, sorry, Walker, sorry. Better man, there, yeah, Walker.
Right, he was excellent in that year.
There was a few people that sort of said, like, Led reminds them a bit of Kyle Walker, that sort of the impact, the level above what we had, and just championship level, he just looks quite special than Ethan Led. So, but that said, Kyle Walker for me, right back. Kenneth Powell, left back. I'm going Kasper Gorks, left side of centre half, because he was the left footer and he's pretty good in the air. I don't remember him losing many headers. A lot of head bandages over the years, Kasper Gorks from where he
got. A few as well, didn't he?
Yeah,
I was going to say, he was always a good little tip for first goal scorer.
Oh, yeah. But the right side is centre half. My God. Not Connolly, not Fitzhall, not Shear 2. So I'll probably go Dickie. But Dickie and Gork is quite a slow centre back pairing, isn't it? So actually, you're going to rely on Walker to cover them a lot, I think.
You go Dickie, did you say, Jack?
Yeah, I'm going to go Dickie from a ball playing point of view.
Yeah.
Right. In goal, I'll go Paddy Kenny. I made my bed, didn't I, with the clean sheet? Yeah. So, no pun intended.
Hey.
Being what I'm saying with Jack, I'll just take out, I'd probably have Balogun in instead of Dickie, I think. It's been so impressive for me, even laugh. What has it been? 5 games, 3 team sheets, is it, Jack? Something like that.
It's interesting, isn't it? He's 4 starts. The three starts he's had with Jimmy Dunn, we've not conceded and we're unbeaten. The other start was with Clark Salter, and obviously Clark Salter came off. It was 2-1 Bristol City. So I don't know if Balogun and Jimmy Dunn is the secret partnership or not, but they haven't conceded. So it's hard to change them.
They're both proper defenders like Balogun and Clint Hill.
I've gambled there, though, haven't I? I've gone Clark Salter, but I just think there's a player there. But I'm, you know, he could prove me wrong this season, but, you know, the other players have proven, so don't let me down.
Sheffield United then.
Yeah.
Oh, what a win. You know, the lads dug in. I thought Sheffield United were okay. Like, they were good, like, bits and spells, but I don't think they were great. Second half, I expected them to step it up a lot more than they did. I don't know, I thought we defended excellent. But look, just a great dogged performance. 1-0 win, snatch it. A bit bittersweet with Willock and Diang, but I suppose you've got to enjoy it, haven't you? And that penalty, I thought that was a penalty at the end. I've watched it back a couple of times, and Andre, because I saw that he wanted to come off. He was signalling to come off, Dizel, with sort of 10 minutes to go, but we couldn't because we had no more subs to bring on. So we dug in there. So that would have been... Brad, what are your views, mate?
Same. I echo that a lot, mate, to be honest. But we were brilliant. Well, first 10 minutes, the second half. I think first half, we didn't really show up as such. But Bill come out and said that they had a big talk in the team talk at half-time. And obviously that showed when they come out. And it was great for Willock to get on the score sheet again. Obviously, every QPR fan now will be gutted about Willock because he is our best. Him and Chair, to be honest. But yeah, I agree with you. Sheffield United, you know, they pressed towards the end, but there's nothing to write home about. They, you know, they didn't really dominate, I wouldn't have said. But they did in possession. They did dominate us. But, you know, was possession, 1-0, 1 goal, 1-0, held it out. And I like what Bill said in his interview, that we had to keep the togetherness in you know, the last 15 minutes. And that team there showed that. And they showed, you know, they held on with all the pressure coming. So, yeah, you know, brilliant, isn't it, I suppose?
Zach, what do you think, mate?
Well, yeah, Brad's right there. Sheffield United had 65% possession, QPR 35%. So it was very much like, keep, you know, keep quite deep and try and hit them on the counter. And we looked quite successful at that, I thought, when we did get it going. But, you know, it was our first midweek away win in Yorkshire since April 2011. So for 11 years, we won at Barnsley under Neil Warnock, 1-0 in the promotion season. Can anyone remember the goal scorer in that 1-0 win at Barnsley?
Trapped within like the first 2-3 minutes.
Correct. Yeah,
well done, Dan.
Do you know why I remember that? Because I'm sure when we spoke to somebody, they said that he only turned up like the day before for that game, didn't he, Tarapt? And like literally, I think he played like an hour, but like got the goal.
There's definitely some backstory behind that. I think Warnock might have touched that before. And, you know, also excluding, you know, the first couple of games of the season, it's the first time QPR have won away at the league leaders since November 2006. And that was against Cardiff in November. And Ray Jones scored a winner, 1-0. Okay. Wow. So it's quite rare that QPR do something like that away from home. And, you know, again, to, you know, back up what you're saying about the defence and everything looking solid, 3 clean sheets in the last 4 games. It's one more than in the last 28 combined. So it's, you know, it is looking really, really good in that, you know, organisational point of view. It's a great result. Sheffield United, the amount of players they've got, they had like Brewster on the bench, 20-odd million they paid for him. Not done much for him. McBurney didn't do much. Thought we, you know, they looked good in possession. Norwood looked quite good. But again, I feel like Dieng made that really good save in the second half, didn't he? After he picked up his injury, the diving across, it was like a long range shot. But I didn't feel that troubled by them. I thought we got a lot of blocks in, just defended really well.
Like I said, mate, they, when the game's in front of us, with that back four and Field in front, and even Johansson is sort of floating around, Amos floating around, breaking up play. It's going to take something special, isn't it, really? You know, I thought the only way they were going to score was from something falling outside the box and someone pinging it in. That was the only... Because I think balls in the box, I think Bristol City started doing it in the second half and we were absolutely fine with it. They just started pinging balls in left, right and centre. But, yeah.
And you know, it's going to be a good day when Chris Willock scores for QPR. You know, he's scored in 16 different games for QPR now and we've never lost when he's scored. since 1920-21, so 100 years ago or so, there's only Wayne Faraday has scored, well, 22 games Wayne Faraday scored in, and Billy McEwen scored in 18 games without losing. They're the only ones that have scored in more games without losing for QPR than Chris Willock, 16 games. So it's a bit of a weird lucky charm. So I hope that doesn't bode badly for tomorrow. No. Someone else can step up. But eventually, when Willock scores, we haven't lost yet. So... hope he's back soon.
Concerned about his injury, though, Willock. I'm concerned how much we're going to miss him, because I think a hamstring injury is one of the worst possible injuries you can get.
like, obviously, like, we're going to miss him. Yeah, that's a given. But like I said a bit earlier, like, I feel like it gives Bill now the option to tweak the formation, try something different. But like you just can't replace him. Like Ilias has got to step up, but like he has been all season. And actually, the one person who has to step up now is Dykes. He's going to be coming into the team. He's going to have to...
Picture the scene. All of your mates around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
At least try and get us some goals. He's going to have to pretend he's playing for Scotland.
I'm sure... Oh, he's gone there, isn't he? But I'm sure... Well, to be honest, I think one person, he's starting to slowly step up, but it's Roberts, you know?
He had an absolute mare of a first half, didn't he?
He had a bit of a mare.
He was better in the second half, but yeah, I agree, Brad. Roberts needs to step up, you know, because he's going to be... You'd imagine that Dykes would come in and Roberts would go over to Willock's.
Obviously, Dykes has a bit of history with Reading, you know, 3 goals in 3 games against Reading in the league. When he went on that crazy run without scoring, 21 games, he ended it away at Reading. Obviously, he got two goals against Reading earlier this year. So maybe, you know, he finds a bit of form against them at the right time. But one goal in his last 24 games for QPR currently. Not what we need from our number nine, but hopefully he can turn that around.
I was, Matt, watching the Sheffield United game. Obviously, I couldn't go at working out, but watching it, I thought the first half, you know, at halftime, I sat there thinking, this game's crying out for Dykes. It's crying out for Dykes. You know, we need Dykes on that pitch because, we were playing good football on the floor, but we were going in the air as well. And there's no one up there if you want to play that sort of football. And you have to have Dykes on the pitch if you're going to play that sort of football. So I thought that was screaming out for Dykes, but obviously we won, we got the 3 points. So
I don't know if you heard Higginbottom, the Sheffield United manager, he said that we changed our game plan and we did that on purpose. He thinks that we started to do that because Chair and Willick, there was pockets of space in that behind that Sheffield United midfield, and he was trying to get the knockdown. It doesn't matter if Roberts had won or whoever had won it, it's just that second ball, wherever it falls, they were hoping that Willick and Chair could pick them up and do whatever they do with it. So yeah, do you understand what I mean? Like they were just, they were knocking it up. Dunk, you're looking at me like I'm talking rubbish.
No, I'm listening, mate. I'm listening intently.
Oh, thanks, mate.
No, I know what you mean. Like, it's just difficult, isn't it? Because, like, Dykes don't win anything in the air anyway, does he really? But if he's getting the knockdowns or not winning that first ball, we are getting the second ball and there are spaces, that's perfect for even, say, now Roberts in a chair. So is that something we can use? I feel like our away record this season, like, we're top of the league on away form. Because I think it suits our style of play with Willock, with Roberts, with Chet as a counter-attacking team.
Now
we've not got them, we've not got Willock, we've got Dykes, we're going to have to be a bit more, less counter-attacking, a bit more patient build-up, because he hasn't got the mobility of a Willock. So that those little pockets of second balls are going to be more crucial.
He even had that chance, didn't he? At Sheffield United when he came on, he had that chance to bury it again.
I can't believe it. It was more Roberts, wasn't it? Yeah, but he should have finished that. But
you know what I mean. But yeah, he just needs. How many weeks can we keep saying it? He just needs a goal.
We're saying about 6 months. But you're right. Actually, I've been encouraged from his recent substitute appearances because I feel like he is winning a little bit more in the air. If he's not winning it in the air, he's disrupting the centre-back. And as you alluded to, it creates a bit of panic in the other team's defence because Chair and Willock might be able to pick the ball up in those little pockets, as you said. But I do feel like he must feel it on his shoulders. You know, everyone is going to go crazy when he scores finally. And he will. It will happen. It's just, he really needs one to go off his proverbial backside, doesn't he? From like a yard out, you know, just something just to get him going. But no, I've been impressed. I think he's played quite well coming off the bench, and Bill's alluded to that as well. It's interesting. Was it three games in a week? The last time we won three wins, or we picked up three wins in space of a week, was in October 2018 under Steve McLaren. We beat Ipswich on the Saturday, Sheffield Wednesday on the Tuesday, and then Villa at home on a Friday night. And that was when it peaked under McLaren, I think, then. And it all fell to pieces not long after. So, yeah, it'd be an amazing achievement for QPR, you know, where they're at now to win those three games in such short succession.
To get ahead of yourself, though, isn't it? It happens so often with us, doesn't it? But it's just so difficult when you look at the squad of the team. But
Bill just needs to sit down, doesn't he, and show Dykes clips and clips of Haaland. Just let him watch Haaland.
Like 8-0 win on Friday, we go top of the table. So
it's quite a swing, yeah.
But you can almost guarantee it. Hendrick's going to have the game of his life.
We've got to remember Joe Lumley's in goal for him, so that's already 1-0 to us.
He gave us that goal last time, didn't he?
Yeah, exactly. No, he's going to have the game of his life now, isn't he? Because apparently, bar that game against Rotherham where he chucked a couple in his net, he's been pretty good.
Jack obviously just touched on the fact that obviously the run was against Ipswich. Did anyone else see where our striker was midweek?
I was about to say.
Rather than being with the team, he was at Ipswich, watching Ipswich. Like, what is going on with the situation with Bond? What is literally, like, I just don't understand. Is he injured? Is that why he's been able to go to the game? What is it like?
He played an under-23s or under-21 game recently, didn't he? So he's not injured. He's just obviously not getting in the squad, and there's something going on behind the scenes. Clearly.
He was really poor in that game, Jack. I watched a little bit of it, and he was. But I also heard someone there saying he didn't, you know, not that he didn't look interested, but he certainly didn't look.
Is he back on the Jaffa Cakes?
Sharp or any, you know, busted a gut to sort of which. Suggest that he's like, you know, it's hard to say, we don't know, but he's sulking or something. Bill said, it's like Brad said in his conference earlier, that he's had a word with a couple and said, look, if you want to be in this team, you need to step it up in training. And I wonder whether maybe it was possibly him, because there might be an opportunity for him to step up, be on the bench. Now Willock's gone, the Armstrong's injured, isn't he?
It's a great chance for him. Obviously, like, I know we're talking about Dykes, and I probably am giving him a bit of a hard time because he does different jobs on the pitch. But at the end of the day, he's a striker. He's paid to score goals, and that's what we want to see as a fan. But there's definitely a chance for Bond to come in now with Willock out. But like everyone's saying, there's stuff happening behind the scenes. He doesn't want to be in a QPR shirt. So if a player's like that, in all government, my respect, don't play him. I don't want him in the team. You know, you don't want someone like that putting the jersey on a Saturday. They don't want to be there.
We don't know, do we? We don't know whether he's just... But you know, Bill just doesn't fancy him, you know, and just doesn't want, you know, but needs him, because if we get an injury crisis, then...
Sinclair's got a knock as well, hasn't he?
That's what I mean. We're already...
Is there much said on that? Because he's a very good option off the bench, even if he is raw. It scares defenders, but he obviously did quite well, didn't he? 5 goals in 2... No reserve games, so it's a shame he got a knock.
Yeah. This probably leads on to my next... Right, this is why, you know, I said it to you, Ben, the other week. We've obviously got a squad there, and we all know we've got a good squad there, right? But does it come down to, you know, the physio team or how many games a week we're playing for how hard it is to keep this team fit? Do you know where I'm coming from? I mean, or have we just bought players that are... ticking time bombs and they are injury prone, and it could just happen? Or do you think behind the scenes, you know, is there something going on? Because the amount of injuries we're getting is just baffles me, to be honest. But I don't know what your thoughts are about it.
I don't necessarily think it's isolated to us, though. I think a lot of clubs are having the same problem. It's like the work, I feel like. You've got to remember, since COVID, there's been relentless games. Like,
yeah, exactly.
A lot of the season, it's been 2 games, 3 games a week. So players, like, as much as we like, it's only 90 minutes a week or whatever, or 90 minutes every couple of days, like, it must be taking an effect on them. They're not having training sessions, so they're not having necessarily that rest and recovery time in the gym. So maybe that's why they're getting more muscular, niggly injuries.
Or does it come down to, though, that we've bought players that are injury prone? You know, we've got Richards. You know, he hasn't even played a game for us. Do you know what I mean? And Robert's struggled previously.
Yeah, haven't we? Like, that's the market we're buying in.
Exactly.
We haven't got money to go out and buy a player for 5, 6, 7 million who's not
exactly. Injured. But that's my point. I'm saying that we've got a team there that's obviously a bit of a ticking time bomb. Or are we? Is, you know, these intensive games, you know, 3 and 6, is it killing them? You know,
It's the same with every club, every team in the Championship, though, this year. I don't think any team is going to keep all their players fit for the whole season. And for the first time in a while, I feel like midfield-wise and defence-wise, we've got a solid squad. It is when if we were to lose Willock and Chair at the same time, that's then when we will struggle.
Well, no, because I think if we were to lose Power or Led, then...
I think that what you're saying is right, Doug, but I also think that that's what dictates where teams finish in this league, to know how lucky you are or aren't with injuries. Yeah. You look at Luton Huddersfield last year, I thought they had like their whole 11 pretty much fit most of the season, rarely, you know, solid 11 every week, like, just, you know, if you can keep that going, then unless you've got that squad where you can bring in someone who's just as good, which we have in certain positions, but not every position. And that's the point, isn't it? If you get your fullbacks injured, you're in trouble. You get Willock chair injured, you're in trouble. We're all right in centre back. We're all right in centre midfield, you know, and striker. I don't think if it's Bond, Dykes, Armstrong, I don't know. At the moment, they're all sort of similar, aren't they? But
looking at that 11, I might be wrong. Tell me if I'm wrong. But other than Chair, Field, who else could you think can play every single week? You know, do you know what I mean? We've had Johansson, who can't keep fit. You've got Dykes, who's got Knox. You've got Dickie now, and then you've got Clark Salter. You've got your Roberts. You know what I mean? You've got your Dieng. You've got your Willock. You know, it's a big bunch of players that, do you know what I mean?
Luck as well, isn't it? You've got to get luck. A bit of luck, yeah. I think, plays a part in it. A bit of Bill knowing, and the staff knowing when's enough, isn't it? That's what they're paid for, isn't it? To know how close it all is to the line.
Steph didn't come on, didn't it?
I mean, Bill's not as religious with the sports science, from what I can tell, as Mark Warburton. Like, Bill's sort of saying it's part eye test and data, and you sort of make a decision based on both. It caught us out, obviously, when we beat Borough and Willock got injured and Amos got injured again. But we got the win and, you know, it got us going. But, yeah, I agree. You don't know what the root causes of some of these muscle injuries is. You know, you could make all sort of wild theories. What are the new training pitches like? You don't know. Anything. But, you know, the fact that there's been so many hamstrings, so many soft tissue stuff, it's quite unlucky, really. But, and as you said, then at the end of the season, the teams that had the fewest injuries probably can have a better season, aren't they? Finish higher up. But if we lost Powell, if we lost Laird, especially Powell, I would say, because I think we're incredibly weak behind him at left back, that's like losing Willock up front, isn't it? So
I love his tackle at Sheffield United. He just out of nowhere just comes sliding like a nutter. Like, you love that sort of stuff, don't you? Like, all this.
Dizelle looks, anyone else noticed? Dizelle looks a bit more aggressive in the midfield.
Yeah,
definitely.
I just wanted to make a note about him. There's nothing stats to back it up or anything with that. Just again, eye test. I think he's looking a bit better this year. Maybe he's got fire up him. All the new midfielders coming in.
He's a big lad, isn't he? He's not little. He's a big, like, physical presence. He's not like a little, you know, like you probably would have thought how he plays sometimes. He feels like he's a bit weak and a bit like, but actually, when you see him, he's actually quite. Maybe he's been told to.
Wanted to come off, didn't he? Sheffield United.
Yeah.
For me, he's got to start above Tim. I'm going to throw it out there. I don't think Tim took his chance against Bristol City. And I think against Sheffield United, Dizelle showed why he should be playing.
I think he's still in early doors, isn't it, really?
I think he's got something about him. I think he'll come good, personally. I think. But I don't think he's out of position as well.
He doesn't run for me. He has that lazy style of running. And just,
what did
it just
you
irritates
call him?
Me.
Pogba? You kept whispering
in my ear. He's the big tech Pogba, mate, or the championship Pogba.
I think he's a slow burner. I think he, you know, having not played at this level, must be a bit of a culture shock, like it was for Dizelle last season. You don't have as much time on the ball. You've got to get used to it. You've got to work a bit harder, from what I can see. But he's got a lot of attributes that we don't. That's quite different. Exactly. He's got a lot of attributes that some of our other midfielders don't have. And you think, I want to see a bit more. So maybe as the season progresses, you'll get better and better.
It just was really frustrating against Bristol City, like how big he is. He looks like a unit. And like, he was just getting out-muscled every challenge. Wasn't running enough
though.
For me. I don't, mate, don't give me that. I'm not having that. If he's good
enough,
he's old enough.
Yeah, if he's Sinclair, we're giving Sinclair benefits of doubt left, right, and centre. He's missed about five chances. He's obviously a great talent. He's going to be a great player, but we give him the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, but he also, he's not been like valued. He's not at a Premier League club in an academy where he's been scouted by supposed loads of teams, mate. Let's keep it real.
I've got big trust in Bill. I mean, look at the recruitment that's happened so far, and, you know, everything seems to be working. So let's stay positive on that.
How excited are you about Bill? Like, is it feet on the ground or carried away?
I'm starting to get carried away.
So am I, a bit like I did with Wolves when we had that massive, great run. And you know what I mean? I generally thought we was going to go up, but it just went Pete Tong. So yeah, it's one of them, isn't it? He's definitely doing the biz at the minute. Good on his interviews. QPR fans are behind him. So yeah,
it's subs right as well. I've got to say, I've got it written down here. Subs. I think the Sheffield United game, I questioned in my head. I don't know if any of you did about when he brought on. He went to three at the back and brought on Adoma. And I just thought that the game was fine the way it was. We were doing fine. We didn't need to change it. And I was worried, but seemed to work really well.
We've got that. Well, I was reading on Twitter that, is it Bonner? Obviously, Bonner from Liverpool. I think that's going through, or it's gone through now, isn't it?
Yeah.
That midfielder. I think he's young as well. So I don't know whether
he's 21. He's not young, is he? It's not a signing for the under-21s, is it? He's been around a bit, apparently. Again, I've not seen him play, so I can't comment on how good he is or isn't. Beals obviously really likes him, otherwise he wouldn't have bought him in, considering we've got like seven midfielders.
Will it replacement? Question mark.
Well, is he like an attacking midfielder? Is he a defensive midfielder? I don't know
him.
So
my mate at work, Mike Reed, he's a big Liverpool fan. He suggests he's like a right-sided centre mid, you know, sort of in the three, plays on, you know, he's not a number 10. He's not like a, you know, in a Chris Willock mould, sadly, but maybe more like an Amos or something like that.
Worried about Willock, lads. I'm worried. I think he's going to be out until the World Cup. After the World Cup, I don't know why. I've got it in my head. No, nothing's come out. He's got a scan and stuff, but
he said he's looking. No, nothing's come out, but he said Dieng is looking touch and go for tomorrow. You know, I don't know if he will play him, but he said there's a possibility that Dieng will still play.
Yeah, Dieng's like he's a keeper, isn't he? It's the kicking that's an issue, but if you can sort of get, you know, if you get your fullback, your centre backs in, and you can just pass it to him, and he can play out.
I wouldn't even risk it, to be honest. I'd just play Archer for one game. I know it's no one wants to see that, but we can't afford him having a long term injury.
No, I mean, I do agree though with you, Brad. Like, it does kind of seem like the game too, if you're going to rotate him, like, he's got a little knock. I know. Like, Reading are playing well this year. So, but like, Archer did all right when he came in last year. Could be a fair shout. The defence is looking solid, so he might not be tested as much as he would have been.
I mean, a couple of bits on Reading that I've sort of picked out. They're one of only two sides yet to score in open play away from home in the Championship this season. They're quite reliant on set pieces.
Don't say this, Jack.
So, you know, they're more of a threat from the corners and free kicks, and who's the better keeper coming for crosses, stuff like that. Yeah, so I don't know if that's going to play into it, and he's really careful with the passing. But,
yeah, but I suppose we've, looking as well though, boys, we've got Luton away next, and they've been unbeaten in four, a bit like us, that, you know, they've drawn two and won two. So is it a gamble you take playing Dieng at Reading at home? Do you know what I mean? We've got two tough games. Well, every game's a tough game in the Championship, but Luton away is always a bit tough, isn't it?
We've got six of our next nine games are at home, or three, what I was seeing. So of the next to last nine games before the World Cup, that's, you know, so we're in a really good position, aren't we? Fourth in the league. You know, I just think that we just need to keep going, keep the momentum going, isn't it? If we get a draw, you know, it's not ideal, we want to win, but we just want to keep going, getting the points on the board. Just quickly on Reading preview, we've got a bit of a preview from Jacob from the Elm Park Royals podcast. Take a listen to Jacob on how Reading are doing so far this season.
Hello, lads. Jacob here from Elm Park Royals podcast. Hope you're doing well. Duncan's just sent me a couple of questions across on how Paul Ince's men are getting on this season. And the answer is surprisingly well. Nobody was expecting his to be top three after 12 games. I mean, the majority of pundits and fans and other podcasts have had us down in the bottom three, and who can blame them really? But what Paul Ince seems to have done is just keep it simple and treat every game differently in terms of the lineup and how we set up. Even though we've kind of settled on this regular five-back formation, playing with three centre-backs, three quite mobile centre-backs, usually Holmes, McIntyre and Andy Yeardham, who we're hoping to have fit for Friday night against you guys. The big surprise has been who we're playing out wide at wing-back. I mean, a former player for you guys that you will know quite well, Junior Hoylett, has reinvented himself as a wing-back this season, unbelievably, playing on both the left and the right. Something I was quite worried about going into this season, because he's not known for his proficiency when tackling. And he got sent off last season for one of the worst tackles I've ever seen from a professional footballer. But credit to him, he's really made the spot his own, and he's doing wonders at wing back so far. And he's definitely been one of our standout players. Another standout player, in fact, our star player so far this season, without a shadow of a doubt, has got to be Tom Ince. another surprising inclusion maybe for star player, because when he signed, there was definitely criticisms from me and others about, oh, well, he's only being picked because he's the manager's son. Both Paul and Tom arrived at Reading a little over a fortnight apart. But he is just absolutely irreplaceable in this Reading team at the moment. He's chipping in with the odd goal when he needs to. He's really creative. But more than that, he's just a bundle of energy in the middle of the park, can play in a variety of roles and really demands high standards from the rest of the players around him. So Tom Ince, definitely our player of the season, up there along with Junior Hoylett and Andy Yeardham, who is the new captain ever since Michael Morrison left the club and Liam Moore's been on the naughty step. He's been great too. So those are probably my top three players of the season. In terms of what you can expect from Reading on Friday, we've only just drawn our first game, but I reckon it's going to be similar. I reckon it's going to be stodgy. We'll be lucky to come away from your place with a point, but knowing Paul Ince, he's just going to be pragmatic and try and grind out an ugly result, which is something which we've started to do this season that's been lacking in previous seasons. You know, we've not been nasty enough. We've brought in a load of big men over the summer. You know, we've had to recruit on a bit of a shoestring budget, lots of loan signings, lots of players on free, but they're all quite tall. They're all over 6 foot. And the likes of Mamadou Loom and Andy Carroll, all just big, strong, hard bastards. So expect a bit of rough and tumble from our lads on Friday. I'm going to predict a 1-1 draw. That'll be our second 1-1 draw in a row, but a point that I think both sides would be pretty happy with in the fight, in our unexpected fight for a playoff position. So best of luck. Come on, you Ars, and see you guys at Loftus Road on Friday.
Right, lads. Reading preview. Reading, I tell you what, I looked at a team the other day and I thought, it's not actually that bad on paper, you know. Like, I think, like, Carroll and Zhao up front, and they had Hoylett and Ince right in behind. Ince, like, I know what you're thinking, like, but that's going to cause any team problems, right?
Like 5 years ago, maybe. That's what it screams, doesn't it? That's what it screams. It's like, it's just like their kind of like final like song. Like, they're just literally, this is the last chance saloon for these players. Like, Hoylett's what? How old? Hoylett must be like nearly 40 now, surely.
30. Like,
he seems to have been around forever.
33. Like, probably 33.
Carroll's
32.
Hoylett. 32.
Yeah,
that's mad.
They've got a lot of over 30s. They've got Shane Long, Andy Carroll, Sam Hutchinson, Hoylett, Tom Ince, Jeff Hendrick, and a backup keeper. They've got a real strange mixture of players, a lot of like journeymen and people that good 5 years ago. But by all accounts, they're clubbing together quite well.
Which ex-QPR player in the current Reading team is going to score the winner tomorrow night?
Lumley.
Yeah.
Lumley.
And then he's going to do like take his shirt off and do running around the pitch.
He loves a bit of the shithousery, doesn't he? So you never
stop dancing.
Yeah.
I think go either way. Sky in it, Friday night. It's going to be a full out, pretty much, I saw. Not many tickets left, which is good.
What was you saying, Ben? A lot of Yankee fans or something.
Well, I heard that quite a lot of NFL fans are going, because the NFL is on Sunday, and a lot of them stay at the West London because it's cheaper and it's close enough. So a lot of that's the rumor. I don't know if that's true or not.
Yeah.
So if you're watching this and that's the case, then let us know.
I think I'm gonna just kick off with my prediction. I'm gonna go 2-1. Dykes to score the winner.
Thank you.
Right. I'll go next. I reckon it's going to be a close game, but I reckon we're going to get another clean sheet, and I'm going to go 1-0 win. I think it's going to be a tight game, but we'll sneak it.
Yeah, so I mean, I just wanted to make a little comment on Chair, you know, captain last week, in midweek. And
chat quickly, that had a bit of a thing about it, didn't it? Him being captain, like, he obviously is not the next in line to be captain, is he? Like, he's not, you'd have thought, like, you had Field on the pitch, like, done the egg. Like, I would have thought these players would have been ahead of him. Do you think it was a bit of a ploy by Beale to give him a bit more?
Yeah, not in the Warnock to Rapt There's definitely a bit to it. I agree. And you know, on Tarapt, Chair, if he plays, 164th appearance QPR, which would be the same total as the Del Tarapt made for QPR. So he's jumped up. He's surpassing Ali Fallin on 163. So he's up there. You know, some really stoic names for QPR.
Historically brilliant. I love him.
And it's nice to see him step up a bit this year because he needed to go up a gear. We all said that at the start of the season. And, you know, he's been, you know...
Willock has helped him, them together. Just
they're fantastic to watch. And, you know, I just hope for Chair's sake, you know, he can prove to... Because that's the only doubt, isn't it, now? People make that comment that you can't do it without Willock. And I'd love to see him take a game with a scruff of his neck and just own it. So I hope he does that tomorrow. Reading, they like to sit deep. They let people pass the ball in front of them and they try and, you know, go quite direct. So it'd be a challenge for QPR to break them down. But I think, I agree, I think it'd be 1-0 QPR, another clean sheet.
Here comes Ben with 5-0 Reading.
I know. Because every time I'm optimistic, we always lose. Like, I'm just going to go to all. I think it's going to be like one of those games, a lot of goals. Like Beals said, a lot of goals. I think both tied teams... I think they're going 2-2. Hopefully Dykes will score. I hope he scored. Right, lads. I think we'll leave it there. Let's hope we can get another win, join top of the league, and go into the weekend on a high. Thanks for joining. And, everyone listening, keep listening, and we'll be back next week.
Cheers, yours. Boys.
Cheers, lads. Yours.
Yours.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.